things, so to speak. Last week I put this on the board, and it's that bad, yes. And my daughter saw me with this and almost ran out of the house laughing hysterically. She's an artist, and I'm not. She asked me what that was supposed to be. I didn't tell her it was a self-portrait. So he's back. Anyway, on this side is from the handout last week. I just did it so people at home can maybe see that a little better. And then these are some important words. I'm going to step out of this frame a minute because I want people at home and everybody here to look at these words. We're going to, as we go through tonight's lesson, you're going to see these words. On your handout, there's three pages. The first page particularly has some color. The colors that are in green are these kind of key words. Our subject is wisdom. Tonight's subject is a little more specific because we call this Anatomy of Proverbs this time. But in that those first verses on your page, you will see all these words: learning, discerning, guidance, teaching, insight, wisdom, understanding, advice, and discipline. The question is, are they all the same? Are they all the same? Probably are. No.
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 No. Are they similar?
Yeah.
They have a similar effect point.
You've answered the next question. Are they somehow all connected?
Yes.
They're very much all connected. They're very important. We know they're important because they're all in the book of Proverbs. They're all in these first few verses. We know they're important because God put them there. God wrote them. Come on, yeah. So it's important as we look at this to be aware that these are not, wisdom is different than these. Or he would have used the same Greek word every time, and he did not. And I won't bore you with the Greek words. But they're different. We're going to later, as we go on through, discuss what wisdom really is. I think it becomes kind of obvious. Learning is that ability to take in information. Discerning is being able to sort of separate that information and understand it, you see, and you go through. Understanding is
discrimination, and it's evil.
It's what discrimination, yeah, exactly. And so forth and so on. So we want to make sure we don't confuse them, but we do want to understand they're all part of the same story. Now, on another note, housekeeping wise, and why Anatomy of Proverbs? Okay, last week we kind of started with the first lesson setting this whole thing up, and we're going to get into the first piece of anatomy. I bet you can't guess what we're going to talk about. You might say, well, this is silly. This is a little cheesy. Why do this? Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, I didn't write this book. So don't call me cheesy, because this is in here. We're reading it right out of God's Word. Second of all, if you think about it, I came up with three other places where this very same concept is actually in the Scriptures. Not to mention a really much more profound thought, which I'll share with you at some later date.
Would you be talking about false idols?
No. About anatomy. Anatomy.
They have ears but cannot hear and eyes that cannot see.
That is also one, but that is not the one I was thinking of. But that's very good. Exactly. We are all what? Part, members of a what? A body. Why should the ear say to the whatever? I don't know. Right? I didn't write that either. So if this is cheesy, there you go. It's a way, again, that I come back to saying this all the time, that God helps physical beings understand through physical things spiritual truths. That's why he uses body parts, because we have body parts. So he wants you to understand, this is how I made you. This is how these things work together for good or evil. And so he talks about them. So, yes, we're going to be talking about ears, hearing, listening, that sort of thing. And the scriptures from start to finish are full of these passages, not just Proverbs. There are hundreds and hundreds of passages where it starts with listen, 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 hear me, hear me, hear me. And we're going to look at a few of those. Now, the third book, the third whatever thing I said there, the last page on your handout. This is a worksheet for you if you care to use it on your own time for any class. It's laid out in two major columns, positive, negative, with subcolumns, listen, don't listen, on both sides. Same thing. In other lessons that we're going to be doing, you'll insert other words there in that second line. And you'll see as we go on what those things would be. The idea is, as we look at these passages, you can start to break this down in your own personal study time. You can look at these passages and sort them out so that you're not just reading through and going, yeah, that's something to think about. Put them in groups where you can look at them more clearly. I started a list for you on the second page at the bottom. Some of the passages we're starting reading tonight, I've actually broken them down. Just a few of them, just so you can see an example of how that might look. And then you begin to see some patterns. Some of those patterns would include, among other things, when on the positive side, listening is a good thing, and not listening might be a good thing. On the negative side, where listening might be a bad thing, and where not listening might be a really bad thing, because not all listening is necessarily good, is it? Sometimes it's better not to listen. And that's something that we'll unravel. The passages in red are basically those negative passages in this lesson. I will use it probably the same way next week in the next lesson. So it helps you just to kind of spot those a little more quickly. So why did we start with that song? I think you begin to see now, since we're going to talk about ears and hearing, Hear, O Israel. God was constantly calling us to listen. In Proverbs 1:5, he says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Let them do that. Hearing. The body, similar to an automobile. I know most of you have automobiles. Most of you know where the gas thing is, and you know how to put gas in there, right? The gas makes the thing run. You know where the oil thing is? You know to put oil in there because it helps to lubricate and keep it running, right? So there are parts of your body that are like those sorts of things. One of those is ears. Stuff goes in. You want good stuff going into your gas tank. You want good stuff going into your ear, right? I hope you do. Because that's how it's going to get in there, is if you're listening to it, right? Part of listening to it is classes, sermons, reading, having other people talk. Reading's not so much. But yeah, you know, anything, listening, to you choose what to listen to, and that's what we want to get into. Listening is like putting gas in your gas tank. Listening is a very active thing. You can passively hear sounds. But listening is a very active thing. And part of what we're going to look at tonight are some of the actions associated with listening. Those are underlined words you'll see as we go through here. So just so you understand what you're looking at as you're listening. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. This thought, this phrase comes up several times in Proverbs 4:1 and 10 and 20. 5:1, where it mentions insight, 7:24, 23:12, 19, and 22. There's several passages, all say this same sort of thing. It mentions listening to father's instruction and a mother's teaching. Where do we begin? We studied last week where wisdom originated, where it first came into man's. Where do we, as people, start to gain wisdom? And when?
In the garden, God told Adam and Eve what they
Right. But when did you start? Oh. Sorry about the finger. When did you start?
I guess mostly you learned it from your parents.
Parents, mostly. Or you should, shouldn't you? That's what he's talking about here, right? You should say, how old were you when you started learning wisdom?
Less than a year.
Child.
Less than a year?
I'll be able to talk.
Who said less than a year? You can remember that far back? No, I don't mean...
It's a long way.
She's really young. What I mean is that young.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
What numbers? It starts around four.
I can remember a excerpt or two from about two, but four is the age where I started to really remember some things.
People who said they could remember things when they were three, but I can't.
Yeah.
I didn't know how old you were.
Well, I do because I actually can time stamp them. My dad was a military and we moved constantly.
Oh.
So certain things happened. I know where we were when it happened.
Okay, that's good.
When he took me out in the desert, I know as far. I won't tell you what we were doing out there, but it was. Yes, I did. We did.
Yeah.
No, he did. But let's put it this way. He got out of the car. We started to drive off. He realized he had lost his wallet, and we had to drive back, and we found it laying on the side of the road where we'd stopped to take care of other business. At a very young age, you start to learn this. Now, I can tell you, I didn't. My brother did at the age of two. Because I was by then six, he reached up. My parents, when they were very young, loved to play cards with the neighbors. A lot of the military guys played cards. And he was two, and he came toddling over. And in those days, some of us who've been around a little bit longer will remember that coffee was served in these little cups and saucers. And you would frequently pour some coffee in the saucer to let it cool before you drank it. Nobody does that anymore, right?
You don't have saucers.
Yeah, we're all men now. We just right down and burn our tongue. Yeah, but they used to do that. So he toddles over and reaches up, because my mom's there, and grabs the saucer and flips it over right on his arm, and we went to the emergency room. Now, we both learned some wisdom that day. That was a real scary thing for my mom to have her two-year-old have that happen. It was scary to me because he was screaming. That was something I'd never heard. So, lessons come in different forms, gaining wisdom, learning knowledge, insight, so forth. These things come at a very early age. If we're willing to take it in. Okay? Jean.
The definitions I've heard is learning things by experience yourself, when you experience it. And wisdom is gained by learning from other people's experiences. So your brother learned it by his experience, but you gained the wisdom because you learned from his.
Yeah. Could have happened to me just as easily at some age, but it never did. You know, I'm sorry it happened to him. I don't know that he remembers it, but it was a long time before he ever reached up and grabbed a saucer again. Yeah, well, I don't think he ever did. So that being said, if my brother, having had that experience, decided 3 months later when he recovered, he's just going to go over and do it again. How much did he learn the first time?
Then we would call him a fool.
Thank you. You've already just jumped right ahead to it. That's exactly that. But that's it, right? Okay, that's it. The fact is, if you're not going to learn these things, if you refuse to accept the consequences that are inevitable for certain ways of acting, then what could you call yourself? You certainly aren't going to be considered wise, are you? You keep doing these things over and over again that are destructive and damaging and dangerous and hurtful and so forth, when you've been taught some way or another, verbally or by experience or whatever, and yet you just keep doing it over. What is that definition? There's that too, right? So what is a biblical definition? Since Jesus mentioned this word, what is a biblical definition of a fool?
It says in his heart there is no God.
They say in their heart there is no God, okay? That's one of the things they do. how do you define it even more? What is a fool, biblically speaking?
Someone with no wisdom.
It lacks wisdom. Beyond that, a foolish person may lack some moral fiber as well, biblically speaking. We're going to look at that. They lack a moral standard that meets God's expectation for us. It's a fool is a word that I don't know how it was with you, and in different places at different times. It's, if you're from New York, maybe it was different than if you were from California or from Florida, wherever. You know, calling somebody a fool, just kid, you know, kidding around, you fool, what an idiot, you know, yeah. Thought it was funny, but not necessarily the sort of complimentary humor you want to get. Not at all. So,
even a fool could be thought wise until he opens his mouth.
Yes. See, I wonder where you got that. Read that somewhere, did you? Yeah. Okay. Proverbs 1:22. Proverbs 1 introduces this concept of listening and immediately gets into the consequences, not what I was just talking about. And we're going to read, this is the one place in this class where, or this lesson where we're going to read a good part of two chapters here, because one has this powerful negative thing, as you see, it's in red on your sheet, and then two is going to flip it around. So if we read, by the way, I remember to bring my Bible this week. The letter's about this big on this page, so I should be able to read this. Starting in verse 24, it says, but since you refuse to listen when I call, since you refuse, that's action, refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. That is frightening. Have any of you ever been out on a boat of any sort, out on a stormy night anywhere? I can tell you, the closest I've been to that is my best friend and I, when we were about 16, we built a raft, really awesome raft, and we camped out on a river up in Jacksonville, put a tent on the raft, we're floating high on the water, and it broke loose. And we were in there trying to sleep, and all night long that raft would go this way, and the rain would pour in the tent opening, and then it'd go this way, and we'd slide down, and it'd go this way in the water all night long. We were just horrified at what was going on, nearly to the point of, if we could get out of here safely, we would. That was the scariest I've ever had on the water, but I've heard much worse situations. But can you think about that, crying out for help? Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. Not coming. Not going to help you. You're on your own. And people have been in a lot worse situations than that.
I can think of one. How about the Titanic?
How do you? The Titanic, yeah.
I was weeping us.
Yeah. Yeah. Help was out there somewhere, but yeah, it would have been a terrible thing. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. That's powerful. So when it says listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, there's good reason for that. But in chapter 2, he turns it around. He says, my son, if you accept my words, Or, on the other hand, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom. So you're very active. You're storing up this stuff. You're putting, you're, where is it? Where is it? Oh, there's wisdom. And applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight, Greg, where can I find some wisdom? I need some. Look for it. And cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure. I don't know how much I would look for silver, but hidden treasure has always been exciting. When I was a kid, I actually bought a book. I was born in Tacoma, Washington, and out in the Pacific area, northwest there. There are a lot of abandoned mines and supposedly hidden caches of things that people found and left behind at their cabins or whatever. And I bought a book that told you where there were possible places you could go and look for this stuff. We actually went to one of them. Found a lot of dirt. But the fact is, we drove miles to get to that spot because people had found chunks of gold in this along this river creek. They had used a dredge to go down through the riverbed, digging up a vein of gold, and the sifting mechanism only took out certain size nuggets, so certain other sizes were falling into the tailings that were thrown off on the bank. And there were reports of people finding a chunk of gold worth, a couple $100.
I've actually thought about that in the past, just exploring the tailing piles. Yeah. Maybe buy an acre of land with a mine on it and just go around.
Just dig around, see? And that's just on speculation. We had some information. We were going to go chase this treasure. We were willing to drive, I guess we drove 150 miles each way across the mountains, the Cascade Mountains, to get to it. So, if somebody said, hey, don't know about the treasure, but I got something better than that. I got some insight. I've got some understanding. I've got some wisdom. Could you use that? How far are you willing to go to get it? What are you going to do? You going to hunt for that? Yeah? Then he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. So you see the difference? The guy that refuses versus the guy that pursues. Big difference in the consequences in our lives. And there's times when I go through a period of struggling with some stuff, and one of the things I look at is, God, where am I in my pursuit of wisdom? Where am I in my pursuit of you? What is it I'm after right now? What am I spending my time doing? What am I spending my time looking for? And am I listening? Am I listening to God? It's real important to understand that that's a good place to start when we're going through these storms and things that go on in our lives. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignores the covenant she made before God, and so forth. So wisdom is, it's a way, it's protection. It gives you that ability to understand good from evil and to know what you need to do. See, I mean, you can learn, here's good, here's evil. You can learn that a stove is hot. Wisdom teaches you don't ever touch the stove when it's hot. You can learn it and not have the discernment to understand if I do that, I'm going to suffer consequences. You can learn that if you drive your car at 100 miles an hour, it can go 100 miles an hour. Wisdom tells you, yeah, and I could die. But what's the fastest anybody's been in a car on land?
I've gotten into the 90s.
90s? Come on. Mark. 160. 160? You got 160. You win.
On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle. Okay. So you win the foolish prize tonight. I twice, not intentionally, twice have been in a Cargojet 140 with my best friend in a Mustang. It was a Mach 2. If any of you have ever been down around Oviedo, there's a really nice little university down there. I think it's called University of Central something. When we were living down, when he lived down there and I went down to visit him, there was a two-lane road from Winter Park to Oviedo. Nothing on that two-lane road. There was nothing in Oviedo to speak of. The college had just been built. The two-lane road. There were two rows that crossed it going out that road. That's where we did 140s down that road. And I told him, I said, Tim, if a rabbit runs out in front of us, we're dead. After the second time, I said, we'll never do that again. That was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
I agree.
And I didn't do it. I didn't want him to go that fast. He just wanted to prove he could. And kind of hard to bail out 140. I'm sorry, let me get out right here. Yeah, wisdom tells you don't open the door. No matter what else you do, you don't open the door. So this is really important to understand. This is why when it's calling out, we need to listen. We need to listen. We need to actively be listening for wisdom. Proverbs 8:6 says, listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. No joke. 8:32-36 says, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction. Be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching and waiting. Does all wisdom come to you at one time?
No.
No. It comes to you a little bit at a time as you're able to handle it. Becky, go ahead.
Do you think that wisdom always comes after listening?
Do I think it always comes after listening?
Do we have to listen first? It seems to me like we have to listen first, and then the wisdom comes.
Right.
So that you aren't just wise because be wise, you have to listen first.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you have to get some of these other things. You have to get some instruction. It's hard to be wise. It's one of the blessings and curses, I suppose, of being a baby. You know, you have no wisdom, but you have no nothing. I mean, you haven't learned anything yet. You know, the baby is like this dry erase board. Things start getting written on it, good or evil. And that baby at some point has to start gaining these sorts of things to decide which of these things do I want to pursue. And we see the results of people's lives when they pursue the wrong things. When they don't inject wisdom into their decision-making process. When they just pursue stuff because it's fun or entertaining or easy or their friends are doing or whatever. You know, a number of different things. You definitely have to listen. You have to...
Part of what's in my mind there is, you know, we can pray for wisdom, like it says in James, but you have to do more than just pray for wisdom.
Right. Yeah. What do you do?
It's not a download.
Exactly. Exactly. And because it's active, we're going to see more of how that it goes beyond just the listening. Because, again, taking the automobile idea, you know, you go to the gas station, you open the thing, pour the gas in, get back to your car and sit there and say, there you go. Right. And no, there you don't go because you're sitting in your car not doing anything. What do you got to do next? Turn the key, put your foot on the gas, and go. So you can sit there, pour wisdom in, or learning, or education, teaching. I mean, there are people who get plenty of discipline, right? By the way, you know, root word for disciples. Not a bad word. Discipline's not a bad word. Very good word. The wisdom is what do you do with the discipline?
I've always felt that the acquisition of a certain amount of knowledge is essential before wisdom can draw meaning and lessons from it.
Yeah.
The two go hand in hand, but they're absolutely not the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and where are you gonna get knowledge?
Study.
Okay. If we're talking in this vein, because this is the only vein we're talking in, right here, where are you gonna get knowledge? You got to spend time in this book, don't you? You've got to listen to God giving you the knowledge you need so that the wisdom can develop. It says wisdom comes from God. If you don't listen to God, I mean, you know, I think I said this last week, and I have said it other times. There are a lot of people who know the Bible backward and forward, but they never apply it. They can recite all kinds of things. They don't display any wisdom. They just have knowledge. Endless learning. I mean, even Solomon gets into talking about that. You know, chasing after the wind. All the stuff you're pursuing. What are you doing? That's important. That's what we want to do. That's what the purpose of this class. Anytime I teach, that's the purpose. I want Debbie or Becky or Dan or Mark or Mark or Bob or whoever. Whoever is here or there, glad you're here tonight, by the way, I want you to walk away with changed thinking and a changed heart and a changed purpose. Because if you're just here to learn, I want to teach because I want to help you change. I want to be taught because I want to change. I want to be closer to God. I want to be more like God. I want to be what God wants me to be. And this is a time when we can do that. We leave here, we're going to go to a place where that's not what they're thinking at all. So this is really important, and I appreciate every one of you all being here. So the way of fools, this is 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them. The way of fools seems right to them. But the wise listen to advice. 17:4, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Why is that?
It suits their purpose.
Because what?
It suits their purpose.
Exactly. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. Yeah, you know, birds of a feather. I think one of the biggest, the modern cliches, yes, one of the worst modern cliches is better to ask for yes than what?
Permission.
Right. Is that a godly cliche?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
My dad has a deal with someone in the neighborhood who tended to live that way.
Yeah.
It was very annoying to people around him.
We as Christians should absolutely never treat God that way. And this is what happens right there in that passage. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue, because that's what they want to do. And then they go, "Ah, I'm suffering some consequences, God. Oh, so sorry." Yeah, how often is that going to work? We have to say, "God, where do you want me? What do you want me doing? What do you want me listening to?" Don't decide that, well, I want to listen to this stuff, hang around with these people, do these things, and then come back to God and say, "Yeah, I'm so sorry." Now, I'm not saying that we don't occasionally make a bad decision. I'm not saying we don't sin. We do. And yes, we need to come back and ask God for forgiveness. But that concept, that idea of purposely pursuing the wrong thing, and engaging in the wrong stuff, and involving yourself, you know, listening to music that has really vulgar language because you like the beat or something like that. None of us are at that age anymore, thankfully. But, right? I'm not getting any amens out of this group. Okay. I think we are. You get it. You get the point.
Lonnie?
Yes, ma'am.
The music thing, that can sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Listen to country music on the radio, and all of a sudden I'm like, what am I listening to? I mean, there's a lot of drinking songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of suggestion.
So, more than suggestions, yeah.
Yeah, we have to be careful, you know, yeah. Push buttons.
That's right, yeah. Never happened in rock and roll music. We never had that problem in the 60s at all. Never. It was cool music back then, right?
Even like things on TV, you can get desensitized to. You just think of it as normal.
Well, it's part of the intention.
Yeah.
But that's another subject for another time. But that's true. That's exactly right. 1813. This has been one of my favorites for a long time. To answer before listening, that is a folly and shame. That is folly and shame. To answer before listening. Now, why is that? I mean, you're listening. This is one of those negative listening. You're listening. Isn't that a good thing? No, it says to answer before listening. That is folly and shame. Becky?
It implies that we have our mind made up. We aren't swayed by whatever the argument is.
Okay.
Or the information.
All right. What else? Why other, what other reason would that be a folly and shame to answer before you listened?
You don't know what they're asking.
Yeah. There you go.
The conclusion's better than most anything else you can say.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not giving somebody a chance. It's unfortunately a thing. I know most parents are probably pretty good. I didn't succeed quite as well because sometimes this isn't something I put into practice. Sometimes, you know, it was something that I already had the answer for because I assumed I knew exactly what was going on. I didn't listen. Didn't give that person a chance to say, hey, here's what I intended. This is what I meant to do. This is what I was really doing. But I already had the answer. So, you know, that does pay consequences. So it goes on through here. Here's one, 1927. Stop listening. Oh, okay. Oh, is that a good thing? Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Oops, no. Don't stop listening then. 2012, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Yes, he has. Here's an active one. 2113, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Now, there's a subject we could ramble down for a long time right there. Don't really want to get on that subject because we could ramble down for a long time, but just think about it. 21:28, a false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully. And that doesn't necessarily mean just in court, does it? This could be anywhere. And so it goes on. As you can see, you go down, we get out of Proverbs, we get into some other books, Deuteronomy. Go near to listen to all that the Lord our God says, then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, we will listen and obey. And this is the other component. Deuteronomy 6:3, hear Israel and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, two of my favorite foods. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Both of these in Deuteronomy. Hear and obey. Listen and obey. So, if you listen, which is a good thing, and it goes in here, and there you go. You know, put the gas in the tank, car, get in the car, and just sit there, right? The gas does you absolutely no good. You've got to put it into practice. You got to obey. That wisdom that you got says now, okay, here's good from evil, here's what good can do. Let's go do it. And that's what it's saying. You get into Job. Even Job, having this long dissertation back and forth, and these are just three of them. God is constantly calling his people individually, as a nation. Constantly. Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. Listen to me. Be silent. That's a helpful way to hear God. Just be quiet.
But
yes.
It's not God that's saying those things.
No.
In chapters 33 and 34,
that's not
how.
Right. Good point. Job 34 says, for the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. And And then Ecclesiastes, even Solomon, it comes back, Solomon, is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the songs of fools. And he goes on into Isaiah. And you hear the same thing. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. And Isaiah 48 says, come together, all of you, listen. Come near and listen to this. It's this message that God does over and over and over again. So, you get into the New Testament. Matthew 7:24-27. What does Jesus say in those verses? Anybody remember? Okay.
Here's my does what I say.
What? Say what?
Here's my voice and does what I say.
There you go. 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So there's that. Hear my words and put them into practice again. That's that. Even Jesus saying that. And then also Luke 6:47. Here's my word and fill in a blank. Puts them into practice. In Matthew 13:19-23. He says 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, hears the message and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only short term. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So they're all hearing, right? They're all hearing. But there's different things in their lives that are preventing it from lasting. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and what? Understands it. This is the one who produces a crop. So it's really important. You can hear it, but if you don't have the wisdom to discern it, if you don't apply it, you don't put it into practice. And then in Matthew 18, he talks about a refusal to listen and the effects of that. John 8:47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And that's a very unfortunate place to be. And then in John 10, he says what? Who listens to him? His sheep. That's the story. We just sometimes we remember these stories, but we forget how much this concept of listening comes into it. You know, they don't just because they're sheep and he's a shepherd. They're listening. They're listening. And that's important. So as you see, there's some other things that are going on here in Romans. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. 2 Timothy for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears desire.
Something we have going on today.
Yeah. But is it going on in the church? See? And that's the scary thing. We know it's going on outside the church.
Well, I'm thinking of churches. I can't speak of all of them.
Right.
Church of Christ, but I know of other churches that people say, "Oh, I just love to listen to them talk or preach because she knows the word." I'm thinking, well, she doesn't know the word if she's preaching.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a good warning because it is that. Goes back to that concept of asking for forgiveness instead of permission. That concept of here's what I'd like to see accomplished, and if I can find people who are going to tell me what I want to accomplish is being okay, and God will, you know. Wouldn't it be better just to say, well, what does God really want for me up front? Why not go there and say, you know, I want this, but is this what God wants? We may be disappointed, but really, as God's children, being disappointed for not getting what we want, is that really a bad thing? Because the reward is so much greater. And sometimes we set the bar too low, even in Christianity. I think sometimes we set that bar too low. Well, if I'm this good, I'm good enough. And God says, yeah, but I want you to be so much greater than that. And that's, it's something we need to pursue. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Not merely listen to it. Do what it says. So you got to put it into action. What's the rest of that passage say?
It's like a man that looks in a mirror and forgets what he looks like when he walks away.
Yeah. It's one of those things that take almost anything. You know, what is it? The old saying, it's like riding a bike, you never forget how to do it. So it's that sort of thing. You can listen to the scriptures, but if you never put it into practice, pretty soon you're like, what did the Bible say? What does God say about that? I don't know. Because you're not practicing it. You're doing something over here. And then you go back and you read it. Oh. Okay. And then you go off and do. What did God say about that? But when you're practicing it, you're not forgetting. When you're practicing it, when you're living it, you've heard it, you're putting it into practice.
But sometimes, this may be just my problem, I've been reading out of the American Standard Bible the last couple of years, and especially in the books written by Paul. I can read, and it's couldn't tell you what he said because I can't comprehend what he's saying. Now I take it out of the English Standard or the NIV or something like that, then it makes sense. But
right. There's
something about, and somebody, what I'm getting to is which is the best translation of the Bible to use? The one that you can read and understand. The one that you will read and understand.
Yeah. So here's, and Jeannie, you're making a good point there. You know, being able to understand it helps you to then be able to put it into practice. Here's two thoughts. One, this passage is talking about that concept of looking in a mirror. When you look in the mirror, do you understand what you're looking at? When you look in the mirror, do you understand what you're looking at? I'm not looking at an elephant or a giraffe or whatever. I'm looking at me, right? So I understand that's me. Then I go away and I forget what I looked at. So even if you don't really comprehend it, the fact is, when you're sitting there looking at that, the second part comes into effect. Where does this wisdom come from? Where does this knowledge and this understanding come from?
Study.
It comes from God. That's what it said earlier. It comes from God. So if you don't comprehend, yeah, you may have to read a different version that's a little easier. King James, God made some things very clear to me as a child growing up with the King James, which is really incomprehensible at times. And despite the discussions about the words being translated certain ways or left out or added in or whatever, God, in his sovereignty, makes it clear to us when we're pursuing it. He does make it clear to us. It doesn't matter what translation you use. If you want to know the truth, if you want to gain wisdom, God will make it happen. So, you know, sometimes you have to push through that, maybe talk to other people. You know, one of the tools, you know.
By the same token, when I read the message, sometimes I'm like, is that what the Bible says? And I'll go and pick up one of my others and, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of a modern translation of
yeah,
it.
A little
paraphrase.
That's not a translation.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There is a difference.
And having the wisdom to know. That's right. I mean, being able to say, you know, is that just somebody's free and easy version of it?
The other thing on this listening that we really haven't touched on, being a teacher, I always tell my students, you better be looking at me, because then I know you're listening. And have you ever noticed when you're talking to a child? That's another good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be over there. If you're going to talk to a child, be sure you're paying attention to that child and not what's going on around you. You know, I think we miss that.
Yeah.
You know, we stand there and we're saying we're listening, but you're really not. You're distracted by something else over here. You're not giving your undivided attention.
Right.
Maybe that's the right word.
Right. And that's a good argument for, among other things, your personal time with God being in an undistracting place,
right.
You know, being in that, you know, so to speak, closet, you know, no TV, no radio, no people around, no, you know, just you and God's word. And yeah, it's the best way. I do better when I do that. I definitely do. I don't ever have a very meaningful Bible study time when I'm allowing stuff going on around me, when I'm distracted. I just don't. It takes a lot of concentration. A lot of my better study times late at night. That's when I do well, because things have quieted down. A lot less likely to be interrupted. And that's a very good point. Thank you. So, for if some reason one were to think that these anatomy lessons from Proverbs were silly, well, like I said at the beginning, Romans 18:14, how can you believe in the one of whom you have not heard, and how can they hear? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear unless what?
Someone speaks.
So part of putting it into action, I mean, we have heard the word, we have obeyed the word, we are putting it into action. But there are other people out there, they maybe haven't heard it. Maybe they haven't heard it all, or haven't heard it right. If we're going to put it into action, isn't that part of what we're called to do, is to do that? So we're going to end where we started, with that song, this phrase, Hear, O Church. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So thank you for being here tonight. We are a minute or two early. Thank you for your comments. And let's end with a prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much that we can come together to be a family, studying your word, praising you in song and worship and prayer. God, I pray that you'll help us to understand it, to understand it correctly, and forgive us when we don't. Please help us to put it into practice. Help us to do those things that are pleasing to you, to always be listening for your instruction, for your wisdom. And God, I pray that we will be faithful in doing those things that bring honor and glory to your name and to your kingdom. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us, and through whom we pray. Amen.